on search lights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Today we're shining the spotlight on Pete Stanley, a local musician here in Armidale who's been here quite a while. Welcome, Pete.
Thank you, Herb. Great to be here, mate.
So tell me, you're a local.
Yep.
And how long have you been in Armidale?
Only 72 years.
72 years?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where were you before Armidale?
I came here when I was five, and I was in Louis on a little farm with Dad. Dad was the station master at Louis, just outside of Mudgee, and we were there for a while, and he got a transfer here in 1953 and stayed here for the next 50-odd years.
Oh, very nice. You've got family here?
Yep, I have four girls here and 12 grandchildren.
Well, that'd keep you busy.
Yep. Not busy enough, actually.
So you were in Sydney for a while, I understand.
Yeah, I went down there for 13, 14 years. So I went there after school in 65, came back here in 78, so whatever that is.
So what school did you go to here?
De La Salle.
All right, so O'Connor.
O'Connor now, yeah.
Right. How'd you find your schooling in O'Connor back in those days?
Oh, I loved it.
Did you do – I know you're a musician here in Armidale, mm-hmm. and you've done – and music is an essential part of your life, and it's mm-hmm. always been. Did you do music in O'Connor?
Actually, I played my very first public appearance in what is now O'Connor in the De La Salle Hall just before I left school in the end of 1964, me and Des Ferris and Robert Finch – schoolmates of mine played Wipeout in the hall. And from then I thought, okay, I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of my life.
So then it was off to Sydney?
Off to Sydney, yeah, for 13 years in the courthouse.
And music was a part of that?
Music was a very big part of it, yes.
What notable bands were you related with down in Sydney?
Well, the one that most people might know, I teamed up with Mario Millo. He's a wonderful guitar player, and he's had lots of international success with Against the Wind with John English. And I was fortunate enough to collaborate with him on Four Moments. That was a wonderful album that he did, and he's performed that in concerts overseas, in America, in Japan. And he's absolutely an iconic Aussie guitar player, and he's a dear friend of mine. So after a couple of years with Mario, sadly I was transferred in the courthouse up to Narrabri Courthouse. And I only lasted there for a year or two, and music kept calling me back in Sydney, so I went back to Sydney for another few years.
So what's the band Aquarius?
When I came back to Armidale in 78, 79, I joined Ray Wilson in 1984, I think. We disbanded, so it might have been about... Yeah, I was with them for about 4 years after I came back. And Aquarius was a popular little band around town doing all the traditional rock and roll songs. We disbanded in 84. Then I continued solo for a while, did a couple of recordings, and in 88 formed the band with a few other guys, all who had beards. We called ourselves the Beardy Brothers. And we had a wonderful run here in all the pubs and clubs and around the district for 12 years.
So you came up to Armidale from Sydney after your stint there.
Mm.
What did you come up to Armidale for? You were in the public service.
Yeah, well, I was transferred from the courthouse from the Attorney General's Department. They transferred me into the Value General's Department here in Armidale. And I was here for about 6 years, I think. From memory, it wasn't long after that I had a bit of a break, and then I joined the Salvos as an outreach person and doing admin in the Salvos headquarters here in Armidale.
So what do the Salvos do? So I know they've got the shops, but what do they do in the community?
Oh, they're just available for everyone who is disadvantaged, distressed, or needs some sort of support, advice, understanding. Helping with all the things that the Salvos are there to help everybody all the time for whenever they're needed.
So would you describe them as a safety net within our society and our community, lack of community?
Absolutely, yeah. Quite often, actually one of the songs I wrote was called I've Turned the Corner. We saw so many people who came to see us for various reasons, and thankfully we were there to help them, and most often we helped them to turn the corner and improve whatever the problems were that they were having.
And I suppose that's a bit of a, as we go through society and society changes, you've got less support mechanisms in families, and therefore places like the Salvos and Vinnies provide that service where once, I suppose, family did a lot of that.
Absolutely. Families disintegrate. So what do you have? What does a kid have when a family disintegrates? Salvation Army is quite often the place to go.
You did the Salvos for quite a few years in the admin, and you went to Vinnie's.
Yeah, I saw it. It was a natural progression for me to go to Vinnie's because I knew a lot of the people there. I knew them from church and from school. And I was there for quite a few years as well in the office and occasionally doing some little outreach things. But it was mainly as a clerk in the office there and helping with general things around the place. Great. It was a great job.
So tell me, is there any difference between Vinnies and Salvos? Is there any different focus?
There seems to be a different organisational structure as far as helping people. They do it in different ways.
So they're a similar organisation. Yeah. They provide a safety net in our society and community for those people who need support to get back on the road to be valued members in our community.
Yes.
So we might actually just play a song. This is one of your originals. This is Australia Is My Everything. And you mentioned off air that because of our gold tally in the Olympics, you've selected this one. Now, tell me about this song.
Well, I was sitting down writing a few songs one day, and I was looking at the cricket or seeing Australia do something good on the telly, and I thought, hey, I should write an Australian anthem. And then I thought, everyone should write an Australian anthem. So I better do mine while I can think of it before I forget. So I just sat down and poured out my heart to all the things I loved about Australia, and I shook my head and I thought, why doesn't everybody do this?
All right, let's have a listen to this, Pete. This is Australia Is Everything.
Australia is my everything, the land where I'll grow old. Your beauty and your way of life, your hues of green and gold. I've been across the seas before, there's nowhere to compare. I'll hold my head up high and sing, Advance Australia Fair. Australia is my everything, where country stretches wide. With golden sun on everyone, where beaches greet the tide. With rolling plains and soaking rains, majestic trees abound. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than on this precious ground. We are so young and richly blessed with treasures still to come. Our lifestyle wears a sweet caress on every southern sun. With Mother Nature surely never looking more sublime. Surrounded by this glory, I'm so proud it's yours and mine. Australia is the country where the lucky people live. We've got to do our duty, give her all that we can give. To keep our freedom, peace and love for those who follow us. Australia is my everything, our land so fabulous.
And you're back with me, Herb, and Community Spotlight. I'm here in the studio of 2ARM 92.1 FM with Pete Stanley, and we're going through a bit of his life history and some of his music. Welcome back, Pete.
Thank you, Herb.
So, that song, tell me, why is Australia so special to you?
How much time have you got?
I've got a little bit.
It's just the freedom and the love that is never disregarded. It's the families that come together. It's the weather. Dare I say it's the government. It is the government. I mean, let's just be general and honest about it. We are governed in a way that suits us with our structures. Our democracy, the countryside and everything else about our general beliefs and our common goals, our opportunities in work and play.
I think the opportunities are a big thing because, you know, if there's somebody prepared to have a bit of a go.
Yeah.
There is a lot of opportunities. I suppose it is. I mean, I didn't say it, but there's many people have said it past that the opportunities that Australia give their population is pretty fantastic.
Absolutely it is.
And we did speak off air about some of the poets, Lawson Patterson, yeah. And we spoke about Keith Garvey from Moree, just yeah. And his later life in Glenelis, and he wrote about the bush and so did Lawson and Patterson. Yeah. So it sort of gives a very positive picture, I think.
We're the luckiest country in the world without doubt. We're all free and healthy and able to pursue our own interests, and we can even criticise governments. How about that?
Definitely, and Keith Garvey was a very big one for that. And if you look across the world, what's going on in other countries, you're just so thankful that you're here in this country.
Absolutely, that's the word.
So you did a little bit with the Regional Development Board. What did you do there?
It was I'd call it an outreach job. I went out and spoke to people who had trouble with their electricity bills and how the best way was to manage their appliances and all that sort of stuff. So I had a bit of training at the place and just spoke to people how to be practical about their electricity use. Many of them didn't have family or partners to tell them how to do it, so it wasn't a desperate situation, but a lot of them just needed advice on how to keep their electricity bills under control. It was, generally speaking, was just being practical and sensible about use of electricity.
I think that was the rollout from the Labor government with the solar panels on the roofs.
That would be it, yeah.
A lot of people have benefited from the feed-in tariff that was at the time,
yep.
and getting their low-interest loans and all the bits that
that's
put
right.
things on.
That's right, yes.
And you were there for a few years?
Yeah, I was there for a few years. Loved it. Still see the blokes occasionally.
Oh, right. Mm. So when did you retire?
I think it was about 2000. It was about 10 years ago, I think. I do remember retiring, so I must have done it.
So, and you've been probably busier now than you've ever been.
I've been sort of semi-retired, really. I don't consider myself as retired because I'm still loving working with music and with grandkids and being a dad and a granddad and a husband, of course. And I like to do whatever I can that I love that is productive, and I'm grateful for the opportunities I have. I can still remember things. What was the question?
That you're about retiring. So you're not one of these ones that have just packed up the home and moved around Australia and did the big circuit. You're actually a family man. You stayed in Armidale. What is it about Armidale that you like?
We just love Armidale. It's I can't deny that the fact that all my family are here is probably the biggest thing. A lot of blokes that I know who are grandparents say, yeah, we're lucky we can see our grandchild three times a year because all we've got to do is go up to Western Australia, you know. And I say, well, we see ours every day.
And it's also, there's something about Armidale, the seasonality. That's my favourite thing about Armidale, having the seasonality, definite summers, and we're in winter at the moment, but definite summer, winter, yeah. Spring, autumn. Mm. It's just that seasonality that's great.
It is, and it's great when you're a gardener. I would like to be a better gardener, and I will this year try to become a better gardener because that's really nice to be out there and having your own little veggie space and, you know, spending time in that as well.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same, like just starting to feel a little bit, things are starting to get a little bit longer, the days are longer, getting a bit warmer. Yeah. I might plant some broccoli or something in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just mentioned something now before I forget. Regarding that Australia song, I've got so much gratitude towards Cole Bale. He's the producer of that song and his family. Sadly, he lost his son Dan recently, and Dan was a wonderful muso and just a wonderful guy. He played the drums on that, no question. He sat down and played them. Off he went. His Cole's daughter Rachel played piano, sat down, worked out what to do, played it, and that was it. And on the vocal side of it, I had, pretty sure it was Mick Abbott was singing harmony, as well as his son Jack Abbott, my grandson. They all contributed to that Australia Is My Everything song, and I'm so thankful for having the opportunity here in Armidale to get the best musos in the world.
So Cole Bale has done a lot of recording of different artists.
Absolutely. He's the go-to man.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy.
So I think Beardy Brothers, he did a fair bit with the Beardy Brothers.
He did our first CD, yeah.
And Keith Cornish gave me that Reconciliation CD, 1998, if my memory serves me correctly, mm-hmm. Together, Together.
Mm-hmm.
And I note there's quite a few Cole Bale recordings on that.
Yes, yes. Cole was all into that.
Yeah.
Yep.
We might listen to another track. We might listen to So Much for Love. Now, tell me something about that.
Oh, well, it was originally called, I'd sat down one day and I thought, oh, I'm just about to fall in love with someone. And I called it So Close to Love. So Close to Love, I never thought I'd be so close to love. And I got a mate of mine, Frank McGurdy, who was the very first singer, called Frankie Darrell and the Detonators, on Bandstand in 19, oh, I don't know when it was, a long time ago. And he did a demo of it. And we sent it to Cole Joy, who was, I'd had a publishing deal with him at the stage. And the general appearance of the song was that maybe, yeah, do something else with it and give it to me again. So I changed it from So Close to Love to So Much for Love. And Frank did another demo version of it, So Much for Love. So instead of being a I Love You So Much song, it was a good heavens, I've missed out on love and I don't want anything to do with it ever again. So it's a sad song, but gee, I've got my mates singing with me, and I was really happy with the way it sounded.
All right then, Pete, let's go to this So Much for Love.
I've never been so much in love before. With you, I didn't have to try. I've never touched those stars above before, until you came into my life. I've never been so close to happiness. With you, I thought I had it all. But now I see that you're no longer mine. From high above, it's such a fall. Girl, I used to be so fancy free, but baby, you got me in such a whirl that I could find no other me. And now as dreams of love have passed me by, there'll come another. They all say, my tears are gone, I have no more to cry. If I see love, I'll run away.
And we're back with Community Spotlight with Herb and Pete Stanley in the studio of 2ARM. Welcome back, Pete.
Thanks, Herb.
And we've just heard the song So Much for Love. So you just were mentioning off air about you reckon that songs find you. Try and explain it.
Yeah, well, it's I think, like people who say you are a gifted songwriter, and all songwriters deserve to be called gifted songwriters. But I do believe it's a gift. However, it comes to us. We've all got gifts, and that is one gift that we're given. I mean, we've got our health and our family, they're gifts as well. But to be a songwriter and express your innermost thoughts in a way that you are safe, in a manner that people would like, and in a tactile manner where people can play a piano and reproduce it and sing and all that sort of stuff, that is certainly a gift that I'm extremely thankful for. So much so that I don't think I created, I think it's already there for me, because it's so powerful sometimes. And when it's in its finished product, like 2.5 minutes of song, it's a being of its own in my thoughts. So I sort of treat it with respect and almost as another person. So it's, I guess I'm just weird.
I don't think you're weird, Pete, but there must be some gratification by writing a song that means something to you and then being able to perform it and then people actually responding to it in a positive way.
That's what I'm thinking now. In my late stages of life, the best way to honour a song is to sing it to a live audience, which on the 17th of August I'm going to be doing with my guitar and harmonica and a little piano accompaniment. All these songs that you hear and you've so thankfully played for me, I'm going to sing them stripped back of all the drums, percussion, harmonies and keyboards, just as in the way that they were first conceived by myself over those years. And hopefully I'll be able to get the message across, the sentiments and the emotions within the songs I can actually reproduce, because they come from my heart once again when I sing them again.
So it's probably no surprise then that that show that's on the 17th of August at corner of Mossman and Chapel Street, it's called the Armidale Studio, it's called Pete Stanley Naturally.
Yeah.
So you've just described why it's called Naturally, because it's paired back, it's acoustic, a little bit of harmonica, a little bit of piano, but it's pretty raw and Pete putting himself out there. $15 is the entry fee, and you get the ticket from trybooking.com, and there'll be a little bit of a session afterwards.
Yep, and all the money from the ticket, almost all the ticket money, comes to 2ARM Armidale's Community Radio, and we have a drink to celebrate music.
Well, we're very thankful for that. We won't knock back anything that comes to the volunteer organisation of 2ARM Community Radio. What we might do, Pete, is go to this next track. It's called Waterfall. Tell me about that.
Oh, Waterfall Way, yes. Well, I was looking at Waterfall Way in a brochure that I got from the council, and I thought, this is a gorgeous place. So I actually went out and drove around it and observed the absolute beautiful, like we were talking about, Australia's landscapes and things. What a magnificent area, that whole, like the hundreds of k's Waterfall Way between here and the coast. And Waterfall Way to me is just a beautiful thing to write about, because it's got nature, it's got vibrancy, it's got light, it's got birds, it's got sounds, it's got everything, and it's ours, for heaven's sake. So I put a little bit of romantic slant on it and hope you like it.
So I think what you're describing is the natural wonder,
yep,
of the New England and the Tablelands, and how it falls to the Eastern Fall and it falls to the Western Fall. But on the Tablelands and all the natural environment that we have around us is something that's precious. And song, let's have a listen to it. I haven't heard it before, so I'm interested.
Cool.
Here we go.
I was walking one day along Waterfall Way, where the birds and God's creatures explore. I was feeling serene in this beautiful scene, wondering what life had in store. There she stood in the spray of Waterfall Way, and she bathed in the cool of your streams. Such a beautiful face in this beautiful place. I knew I'd met the girl of my dreams. What a far way, I remember today, how we danced on your leaves in the cool summer breeze. We fell in love and we shared our first dream in the peaceful embrace of your trees. And then we were wed and we made our first bed in the place where we met that first day. Now we often run wild with our first little child and show her our waterfall way. Waterfall way, we thank you today for this place where all can belong. Over the land, like a well-rehearsed band, you're ringing with Mother Nature's song. What a far way, 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 what a far way.
And you're back with Community Spotlight and Herb and Pete Stanley in the studio here. Now, tell me, Pete, what's planned for the forthcoming future other than your show on the 17th of August? What else do you think you might get into?
Well, once I do the show, I'll feel that I've honoured my songs that I've done in a way that I would like to, and I'll now concentrate on the songs that I've written that haven't been recorded. I have quite a lot of them. I've already got a few ready, probably about 20 ready, that I want to record as soon as I can over the next year or two, and then do a similar concert, maybe a little bit more elaborate concert, when I have the new songs to sing to an audience. So I'm going to concentrate on a whole lot more material when this is, in a couple of weeks' time, I'll start to make plans for some more recordings and some more collaboration with other musos.
So you do a fair bit to finish off. You do a fair bit with the retirement villages. What do you do there around Armidale?
I sing all the songs that they would have known many years ago.
So you do McMoore Gardens?
Yeah, McMoore, Ken Thompson Lodge, occasionally the Care for Seniors, a couple of Rotary things. And the old songs, the good old songs, keep coming back. You know, they've got generation after generation pick them up and they become their songs. And so all I've got to do now when I go to an older senior space is to sing the songs that I used to love when I was a kid.
So they're things like The Road to Timbuktu. What's the other one? Tennessee Waltz?
Yeah, Tennessee Waltz. And even Elvis, Buddy Holly, the 60s, the 50s. I can't name all of them. I've got 2,500 of them.
So how many songs do you think you've written and recorded?
I've written about 200 songs and I've recorded about 90 of them, most of them on CD. There's some on YouTube and other mediums.
Well, we might just wrap it up there. So you'll be able to catch Pete at the retirement villages if you're entering that stage in your life. But you're also, and that's fantastic that you're doing that for the seniors in Armidale, Pete. I really take my hat off to anybody that goes down and does anything the seniors.
I love it as much as they do.
Fantastic. And look out for this concert on the 17th of August. Go to Try Booking. Google Pete Stanley naturally and you'll get a ticket for $15. What's the time that it starts?
4:00. We'll go for an hour and a half or so, a bit less maybe, and then we'll have a couple of drinks to celebrate music.
And a portion of those proceeds will be going to 2ARM, which is a fantastic cause.
Almost all of it, actually.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Thanks very much, Herb.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to Community Radio and me, Herb, and Pete Stanley. He's one of our locals and one of our gems.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.